Christian greetings, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters from near and far. Certainly appreciate our visitors and certainly greet you in the name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He left heaven's glory and came down here to walk among men to teach us how to live and also teach us how to die. So this morning, I think it's very imperative that we, like in Ecclesiastes 5, it says there, verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. To hear the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Speaking, this is in Proverbs, Wisdom, I believe. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Watching. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. Proverbs 15:31 says, the ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. We hear. James 1:19 says, therefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Very good admonitions that we have in those verses in preparing us to live before that silver cord will break someday. It will break unless the Lord returns. And we can hear those coming with the Lord shouting his salvation, the blessedness of God. Yes, I'm with Henry on the songs this morning. I was really blessed. And certainly, We need to bear in mind that our time will come. Job says we're not going to cross those bonds that the Lord has set. It is appointed that man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. In the past month, I know we traveled a lot. We attended 6 funerals in the past month. Some of them are family. And of course, Sister Arlene was one of those that we attended. It's a pleasure that Jesus came, that we can be saved. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life, he told Martha. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He told Martha also, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a wonderful thing. Even though we see our parents and our brothers and sisters entering and young people, my niece's husband leaving so suddenly, leaving a family of 8 children, a minister in the church, very needed, but God needed him more. God wanted him at home. Many things like that we experience. And so we appreciated that song Brother Simon led here. Someday the silver cord will break. Ecclesiastes 12 gives us a lot of information that we need to take heed before ever the silver cord be loosed, because man goeth to his long home. What a blessing that we can die living. Living. And now, for the message. Much more could be said in our travels, in our teachings, in our in our love for God, in spite of death staring us in the face and being with those that are longing to go to be with the Lord. Makes us all the more homesick for heaven, brothers and sisters. Obedience. For some reason, probably because I needed, as much as anyone, obedience is the title of the message this morning. Obedience. Obedient to Christ. Obedience is a cornerstone of Christianity. As James said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. Turn with me to the Epistle of John. First Epistle of John, chapter 2, for a reading. Sometimes we wonder, why did the Apostle John address these people from the church here? Why did he address them as my little children? My little children. I believe he as he quoted, as he wrote in the first chapter there, the things which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, a full joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah said. And I believe he had such a feeling for the children, for the people there, and he wrote to the fathers and to the young men and to the children. And so let's listen as I read this chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light shineth, and now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh not, and walketh in darkness, excuse me, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written them to you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is in the truth, is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What a reading. What an encouragement. What a teaching. Abide in him so that when that silver cord breaks, when that silver cord is loosed, that we are ready to meet him. And we need not be ashamed. And again, I repeat, as Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake unto righteousness and sin not. Obedience is not a popular subject for today's society or even the religious climate. There's so many people that seemingly feel the Word of God is outdated. It doesn't really apply to our day and age. Many feel that it's not important. We can just do as we want to. We can obey what we want to and what we choose. And they just go on. But God's word is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. God is immutable. He does not change. And the truth of God's word will not change. And so may we rejoice and praise God that we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate, one who pleads our cause. One who stands up for us. And the propitiation to gain or regain the favor of God, Jesus, in his sitting at the right hand of God, is interceding for us. As we go through life, we are not perfect. And we won't be perfect as long as we'll be in this life. But we can be forgiven if we repent, if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God and his word will not change. It portrays obedience as a very, very important part or important matter. And it actually involves our destiny, where we will end up when that silver cord breaks. Oh, I like that last verse there where it says, until then. And I can't quote it. I wish I had that page again. But what number was that, Simon? 53. Thank you. Someday, till then, I'll watch and wait and obey God's word. Someday, when that comes, when that time comes, my lamp will all be trimmed and burning bright. May we truly take this to heart. A number of times in these funerals, it was said that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why is that? It says people will lay it to heart. It soaks in when we see our mother, our brother, our sister, or any other member of a family laying there. Life has fled. It's just the house in which they lived. And I'm so grateful that the scripture tells us that for we know that when the house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, a building made of God, eternal in the heavens. We certainly long for that. But in our sojourn here, we must obey God. We must truly do what God says. Now, John says here, I'm not writing anything new. And that's very true, because if we go back to to Deuteronomy, Moses there, he was preaching to the children of Israel and rehearsing there from the law, that God is one God. I thought I could quote that verse in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. But he is one God. And the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and all of our strength. And it says then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you noticed in the reading here, John brings out very vividly and very strongly that we must love our brother. If we say we love God and we don't love our brother, you know, how can we love God if we can't even love our brother that we see, and we can't see God? He says this is not a new commandment. And there's a few things I'd like to bring out here of obedience, and it is required from our whole heart to obey God, to love Him, and to honor Him. And I appreciated devotional this morning with Brother Peter. And in our circumstances, we find that we would just be so glad if some of our circumstances were changed, that we could maybe even, like Peter said, better serve God. Well, let us take heed and let's serve Him in the situation we're in. And let's not keep our eyes on the circumstance, but let's keep them on the Lord. And He will carry us through. He will take us through. He said, even when you go through the water and the fire, you will not drown or you will not be burnt. He will take us through. And it's loving our brother. I mean, to God, it is a duty, a wholehearted is required, obedience is required. And Moses was talking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, In chapter 26, verse 16, he said, this day the Lord God hath commanded thee to do them. Those statutes and judgments that he preached to them. And he says that thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. I mean, we need to be absorbed in God, in Christ, and Christ in us. And it is the price of success. Where will we go, you know, when that silver cord breaks? And when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. Do we have everything ready? Is our house in order? If the prophet would come and tell us, you must die. You must die and not live. Or would we do like Hezekiah, I believe it was, turned his face to the wall and cried and reminded God how much the good I did, how much good I did. And there was a time when he did good, when he departed not from following God and kept his commandments and the commandments of Moses. Hezekiah was good, but then after that he was just anyhow. So God added 15 years to his life. But in my studies, I don't find that he actually died a saved man. I don't know. I'm not the judge. The price of success. The book of this law shall not pass, not depart from out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Joshua heard these words from God after Moses went up to Mount Nebo and died. And later on, it was written, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And notice that passing down the word of God and how important it is to obey God and to love him. He said, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua, and left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded him. What a blessing. Maybe I have to turn to that. Thought I could get on to that, but my memory is not quite what it used to be. But it says there of Joshua on further that in Israel and in Joshua 24, in verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. What a tremendous effect that his life had and his doings. And all the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So a wonderful, wonderful thing that happens when we as parents and grandparents continue to teach and encourage and share the word. And of course, not only by precept, but by example, living our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. So obedience is a very, very important element in this matter of our lives here and involving even our eternal destiny. You know, when Saul was told to go and completely destroy the Amalekites, everything that was there, the king and everything. Well, when Samuel came, he met Saul, And Saul says, we have done the will of the Lord, the word of God. And Samuel says, well, what is this bleating of the sheep and lowing of cattle I hear? Oh, he says, this is God, we brought this here for an offering to God. So Samuel says to Saul, do you think God hath more, the Lord has as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Do you think that sacrifice is better? Well, he told him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than the sacrifice. And of course, as I said earlier, it has an effect on it. It determines our eternal destiny as well. Matthew 7:21, I think a very, very familiar verse. Jesus himself said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so, he that obeys, obey the will of God. And so, as fathers, he writes here, you've known the word, and I think he is encouraging them to pass it on to the next generation. We leave a legacy, and to obey is better than sacrifice. And the Bible gives many examples. I've brought some of them out already of those who refused to obey, and also the sad consequences that followed. There is a punishment for those who disobey, and a penalty, a curse. And Moses was teaching the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 11:28. He says, and a curse if thou wilt not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which ye have not known. And in Samuel, we have another one. But in Samuel 12:15, 1 Samuel, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. And so we go on with that. It is there's a lot of encouraging examples of obedience and resulting in blessings. And one that I remember and that I have in my mind is when in Revelations, in verse 22, or chapter 22, I think it's around verse 14, where he says, blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates, through the gates into the city. The blessings. And I think every church that they wrote, that John wrote about in Revelation, has a wonderful blessing if they continue, if they obey, if they continue to do that which is right. And our first obedience, of course, is to God, obeying God. And that includes an explicit obedience to all he says in his word. His word will judge us. And that day, we read that in Revelations as well. And we cannot rightfully claim to love God and to have a right relationship with him when we knowingly disregard or disobey some of his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, they that keep my commandments, he that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And so the Bible is clear that we are to submit to authority as well. You know, the authority that God has delegated, and we spoke a little bit about that in the Sunday school class. It's children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the one promise was that they may live long and dwell in the land which the Lord thy God has promised thee. And so, I don't know, are there children, young people here that have a problem obeying parents? If you do have, you know, the Lord wants to help you. I know I went through a time when I thought I knew more than Dad did. It was a very difficult time for me until I surrendered my life and obeyed and listened to my parents. I wanted to do things that they did not approve of. And it was a very difficult time. So is that is there anyone here this morning, you young people, that have a struggle in that? The best thing is to obey the parents, to yield our own will, and to realize Mom and Dad have had a lot more experience than we had. I see that. I saw that later on then. And I have some children that have come to me and also expressed a similar situation. They have children of their own now, and they say, boy, I see, and I'm sorry for the problems I caused and not obeying and accepting your advice. So civil authorities as well, we need to obey as long as they do not conflict with God's higher law. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the apostles were preaching Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees were trying to keep them from preaching Jesus. But Peter and the apostles said that we ought to obey a God rather than men. Their ideas were conflicting with God's law, that they should love the Lord with all their heart. Even though the scribes and Pharisees knew that situation, they did not abide by it. And so, as members of Christ's body, we are to honor the authority of the pastors as well, that he has called to lead the flock. An obedience that springs from the heart of love and devotion to God brings his rich blessing of righteousness, peace, and assurance. Obedience keeps us on the pathway of heavenly sunlight that leads us to our eternal home in glory. Going back to the reading of the scripture, he talks about the light. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And before that, he says in verse 8, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. I hope you appreciated the scripture, the lengthy chapter to read, but there's some things in there that you might want to go back and read and meditate on that. Time is running out. I don't want to go over time. But we need to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it talks about, I might spend just a few moments on the verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you know, we are concerned in that we do not love the world, that we do not appreciate the things of the world more than the things of God. God has blessed us. God has given us much more than we deserve. in the blessings of life and health and our lives at home and our, you know, in our life in general, let us not trade some of those things for the love of the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that really cuts it off, doesn't it? And he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abideth forever. I think all sins come under those three classes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we would take time to go back to chapter 3 in Genesis, where Eve was tempted and deceived and yielded to temptation, it says there that the tree was, the food was good to eat, the lust of the flesh. And the it was beautiful. It seemed like it should be real good, the lust of the eyes. And then as to be a tree that make one wise, the pride of life. I believe that can, that all adds up to about every sin that we can even be guilty of. So we are grateful to God for his love to us, giving us his Son to teach us how to live and how to die. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return, was not spoken of the soul. The body deteriorates, and we have nothing that wasn't given to us. And when we leave this earth, regardless how many things we have, how many farms we own, how much other things we have, we will not take any of them along. It will all stay here, and our bodies will be deteriorating out there in the cemetery. But the soul, it wasn't there anymore. It's somewhere. In these meetings, we had a lot of fellowship discussed a lot of things. Not everybody agrees on the where the body goes, where the soul goes. I'm sorry, the soul and spirit, where they go. One brother told me he doesn't believe that they go directly to the Lord. I said, well, I don't know. There are some scriptures that would allude to that. Now he says it's just a sleep. It's just going to be a sleep until that great resurrection day. And one other brother had some other ideas. Anyhow, I said, well, you know, where there's difference like this, we might as well just better focus on getting there. And then it'll be all right. God has it all planned. And where there's controversy, nobody really knows. Let's just wait on God. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us give him all the praise and the glory. What was said to me was said to, what was said through me was said for me first, and then he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If anything was said that wasn't scriptural or questionable, may those that give testimony correct me. Thank you for your prayers. May God bless you, and let's just keep on focusing on the Lord, not on circumstances. What is circumstances? One of the brethren made mention about the troubled waters. And some of those can be circumstances that we might not even recognize. But God is trying to heal us from whatever situation we're in. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.